past few weeks, or even last the previous the past few weeks, we were looking in terms of missions, right? I think we had guest speakers here who were bringing us about, you know, the importance of serving God. And I think one of the last sermon that I spoke with you is about not just going to church. I think all of us like to go to church, but I think the Word of God is very clear that we need to not only go to church, but be the church. We want to be the church wherever we are, wherever we live, wherever we might be dwelling. And so that was what we have been looking at. And today I thought we will just continue by looking at some of the things that Paul is talking about, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? As I told you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a passage that actually speaks about that we need to be part of the church. We need to be the church. And God has graciously actually blessed us with certain gifts in our lives. So let's spend some time in just praying and ask God to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We pray as we spend some time, O God, listening to your word, we pray that you will continue to speak to us. Help us, O Lord, to understand your word. Make it clear to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this year I was blessed, because when I say I was blessed to officiate at least 3 weddings, right? And it was always a joy to be part of a wedding ceremony. My wife and I really enjoyed spending time with the couples, talking to them, you know, just hearing them out. At the same time, just trying to walk along with them. At the same time, I think many of you know that, you know, before they get married, what happens? You have wedding showers, right? You go, you give some kind of gifts, you want to bless them. And it's a wonderful time. And I think we also had babies in our church, not this year, the previous year. And I know we do have baby showers in the church, right? People are so excited because there is a new addition in the family, right? God has been so graciously blessing the couple. So it's always nice to go into a wedding shower or even a baby shower. It's wonderful to get gifts. And like Christmas is also a season that talks about gifts. You know, the more I look at about gifts, I realize, you know, God has been so gracious, right? Because the Word of God is very clear about this, that God has actually given each and every one of us gift, my friend. Or maybe gifts, right? The time that we experience His love. In other words, when I got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God graciously has given me a gift, a spiritual gift that God has given to us. So let me tell you, you know, it's that each and every one of you are special. That's why I said we are blessed, because God has blessed us, each and every one of us, with gift, my friend. Whether you know it or not, whether you have discovered it or not, the Word of God is very clear. And so Paul is writing to the church, and he reminds the church that each and every one of you are gifted, because you are with the Lord Jesus Christ and you proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, and God's gift is upon you. And Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, the kind of gift that actually God has given to us, the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And, you know, just to give some kind of a background to those who might be interested in church history, you know, when we talk about spiritual gift, today we don't speak much about spiritual gift, right? Many a times today we like to hear the social gospel, the how-to kind of a thing, right? The how-to kind of a thing to live in this kind of a world. There's not much of an emphasis in some of the churches, I realize. But whereas very interestingly, in the early 19, right, during, I think, the charismatic movement started. And that was the time people fell that they need the power of the Spirit. We need spiritual gifts in our churches. No, we need to be just shining for the Lord with spiritual gifts and all that. And from then on, we realize, I think, you know, people are just, there's a lot of emphasis on spiritual gifts, my friend. Like, I don't know about Canada, but I know, you know, in back in Asia, there's a lot of emphasis on spiritual gifts. There's a lot of emphasis about the second coming of God, right? The book of Revelation, people tend to want to hear, you know, when is God coming back? What are the signs of the times? You know, what is the birth pains before the Lord Jesus Christ comes? And It's important for us to know that God has actually gifted each and every one of you. Because you are a believer, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has actually gifted us. I thought I wanted to ask you a question, right? And one of the questions I'd like to ask you, which spiritual gift do you think people believe they have, right? Which spiritual gift? I think the Bible speaks about it, in the gift of teaching, the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy, administration. It goes on. In your understanding, which spiritual gift do you think, most people have? Hello? Which spiritual gift in your understanding? Pastor Vincent, I go to church and I see this spiritual gift very visible. You can talk to me. Teaching, okay. Serving. Visible, right? Yes, teaching, serving. Mercy. This side? I'd like to hear from this side.
Help,
okay. Spiritual gift. You think very... I see this spiritual gift very evident in the churches I visit, or if I've gone to, or even in my our church, right? Encouragement, okay. Faith. Gift of healing? Oh, yeah, gift of healing. Okay. Yes, thank you. I think the list can go on and on. And I was looking at Barna's research. Very interestingly, it says evangelicals more likely than people from the other faith segment say the gift of teaching, right? 28%. Right? I think, Michael, you said 20. Right? 28%. Service is 12%. Encouragement. Wow, looks like, you guys can be part of this data or study done by Barna. Very, and it's 12%. Encouragement is 10%. Administration is 7%. The non-evangelical, the born-again segment, the non-evangelical are a group of people. There's a difference between evangelical. Evangelicals are, those who emphasize it by saying, this the Word of God has full authority. The non-evangelicals, they mix the Word of God together with signs and all that. So they really don't look into the literal understanding of the Word of God. So they are the ones who say the gift of faith and hospitality. Very interesting. I think it's right. We believe that many of us have the gift of teaching, gift of service, gift of encouragement, at the same time the gift of administration. But when I look at the list, I realize, God has been so gracious, right? God has actually gifted us, and God has gifted us with a purpose. When Paul writes this particular letter, Paul wants to remind the church. That's why he starts by saying, now about the gifts of the Spirit. What was happening in this church? Just to give you a background, God gave people gifts. But then, according to history, what was happening? This church wrote a letter to Paul and said, we have some questions about gifts. Because gifts were supposed to help, to serve. But it was done otherwise. In other words, it was not really becoming helpful. Or maybe the people who were using it in a different way altogether. And so Paul is writing to them. And Paul is writing, and he starts by saying, concerning the spiritual gift. In the Greek text, he doesn't use the word gifts. Concerning spiritual things. In other words, he's saying, concerning the things, how the Spirit of God works in the lives of people. And then he speaks about spiritual gifts. So we need to be very careful, because spiritual gift can unite the church. Spiritual gift can divide the church. What was happening? The Corinthian church had all the gifts. You can name it. People had gift of healing, prophecy, and all that. God has given it for a purpose, but it was used differently for the glory of some people, and it was dividing the church. Today, my friend, I think when I look at God's word, the word of God says, I've gifted you. But then, how do we use our gifts? And so Paul speaks about the gifts that God has given to us. Firstly, I think he reminds the congregation in these verses. I'm just going to scan through some of the verses here. You know, every spiritual gift is a product of God's grace. In other words, Paul is reminding the church, it's not who you are. God did not give you a special gift or this gift because you are somebody in the church or someone who was prominent in the church. Paul says that it was the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, it was the product of God's grace. I don't deserve to have that gift from God. I don't deserve, you know, to be doing this. I might be gifted in administration. I might be gifted in teaching God's word. I might be gifted in encouragement. And I'm not worthy to have that particular gift. Paul says it's God's grace. Very interesting, you know, when you look at the word charismato, right, in the Greek word, it means it's grace gifts. In other words, not just gift alone. It's grace gifts. It's God who's been so gracious. We are undeserving people. And Paul says, you don't realize, Corinthian church, you know, you thought you were deserving. You thought you were somebody. No. Let me remind you, it was God's mere grace upon you that each and every one of you were given. God could have easily withheld his gift, but he gave because it's a gracious gift that God has given. And he uses the word like the same Spirit, right? The same Lord, the same God. So Paul is just emphasizing, whatever you do in terms of gifts or ministry, it's God's grace. I think we need to realize that, right? It's God's grace. It's not because of who I am. And that was a problem of the church in Corinth. You know, they thought, you know, they were great. And, you know, when if you look, read further, some people were saying, you know, I prophesy, so I'm greater. I heal, I'm greater. No, Paul says, no, it's not like that. I speak in tongues, I'm greater. Paul says, it's God's grace. My friend, today each and every one of us are given a gift from God. Some of you might say it's a talent. Let me not go into that particular topic, but I wanted to say talent can be also a gift. God can give you something different from your talent altogether, right? My talent was not preaching, by the way. I am a guy who's always afraid to go to the stage, right? I will shiver. But today, I would say it is not my talent. I was not born going, standing in a, you know, in a stage and preach. But I know, you know, it's all because of God's grace. Right? And so that is not my talent. But it's all because of God's grace. Sometimes God uses our talent, right? And he empowers us and uses it as his gift, my friend. So that we will operate with his power in us, with his grace in us. And so Paul is reminding the church that it is God's grace. It's God's grace that's actually working in your life. So let us be reminded, you know, that whatever we do, God has been so gracious to us. Secondly, every spiritual gift is a reflection of God's nature. Very interesting word Paul uses, right? Every spiritual gift is a reflection of God's nature. In other words, he uses the word manifestation. Very interesting word in the Greek text, right? When he uses the word manifestation, what Paul is saying, the word here, it means to say, you bring to light, right? In other words, you make clear, you open up, you manifest. That's what Paul is saying. It's inside you. In other words, Paul is saying, the Spirit of God is in you. Can I see the Holy Spirit in you? Is the Holy Spirit in you? Hello? Are you sure or not sure? If you're not sure, come and see me after the service, right? I'll talk to you. How do I know the Holy Spirit is in you? Hello? Don't worry, no wrong answers here. Yeah, we'll try to make your wrong answers right answers. How do you know the Holy Spirit is in us?
If I read some more,
We declare Jesus as Lord, okay? Fruit of the Spirit. Wow, looks like you guys are doing well in this Fruit of the Spirit group study. Yes, I think it's interesting. Paul is saying that, you know, it is seen through our activity. Right? The Spirit of God is hidden in me. It's inside me. And if I allow the Spirit of God to work in my life powerfully, what happens? You know, the Spirit of God is revealed through my activity. I begin to show His love, His compassion, and the things that the Spirit of God wants me to do. And that's why, you know, when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he speaks about we are jars of clay, but the suppressing power of God is in us. And that's the way he says, you know, we are a jar of clay in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, but the power of God is in us. And the power of God wants to energize us, and the power of God wants to reveal itself. But whether we want to reveal the Spirit of God, that's important. And so every spiritual gift is a reflection of God's nature. Right? It shows God's compassion. It shows God's mercy. It shows that God is holy. It reveals. And so Paul is reminding the church. That's why he says, there shouldn't be any pride. There shouldn't be any arrogance in you. There shouldn't be any division, because that doesn't reflect God's nature. God's nature is loving. God's nature is caring. God's nature is reaching out, coming to you. God's nature is to be there with you. The Corinthian church were bringing the believers to court, my friend. There were court cases. There were problems in their life, in the church, between the rich and the poor. The rich were eating more, and the leftovers were given to the poor. There was discrimination in the church. And Paul says, you do not have the Spirit of God, and that's not the way the Spirit of God works. It reflects God's nature. It comes out, my friend. If you have the Spirit of God, then God wants to reveal His nature, not only in us, but through us, my friend. If we are not revealing God's nature, and that's why Paul writes by saying, the person will declare Jesus is Lord. If not, he says, the person is not revealing Christ. Right? And so, if I have the Spirit of God in me, speaking in tongues and all that, it's a different thing altogether. But I think the fundamental thing is that I'll reveal who God is. His love will be seen in me, shown through me. I begin to show. I begin to care. I begin to encourage one another. And that's why in verse 11, you know, he uses the work. He says, work for one and the same Spirit. In other words, he uses the word in the Greek text, it energizes you. It energizes you, not to just, you know, to keep quiet. It energizes you to show God's love, my friend. That's the way Paul begins to use. Lastly, let me finish with this, which is important, right? Paul also says, for is given for the common good. Every spiritual gift is building up and not for destroying. It builds up the body of Christ. And that's why Paul says, you know, the hand cannot say to the feet, or the feet cannot say to, you know, to the hand that I don't need you. Every spiritual gift is given to build up the body of Christ and not to destroy it. Yes, we will have diverse gifts in us, but there is always unity. Right? In other words, yes, it is not uniformity, but he says, you know, yes, we have different gifts in us. Very interestingly, the way he uses the word is like a symphony, right? Have you gone to a symphony? Right? Can you imagine when you go to the symphony, it's very interesting, you know, some will play different instruments, some pipe instruments, some percussions, right? You realize, you know, they play their part, they play their piece, they know when to be quiet, you know, when to play louder. And then when you are there, you are just soaked, right? You enjoy. You feel as if, you know, you are just taken. maybe into the seventh heaven kind of a thing. Right? Can you imagine you go to a symphony when every fella is just playing whatever he wants to play without a proper conductor, you know, it will be chaotic. And so Paul uses by saying it is actually, it's a symphony. Every one of us are given different gifts so that, you know, it becomes a wonderful experience. It energizes the entire church. It builds up the church. You know, it would be wonderful. And that's what Paul is trying to say. What was happening in the Corinthian church, my friend, you know, it was destroying. Pride was coming in. God graciously gave, but people thought, you know, I have a better gift. I'm better than you. I'm holier than you. It was destroying the church. There was no love at the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. The rich thought, you know, we are special privileged people and we have special gifts. That's why God has blessed us so much. It was destroying the church. It is for the common good. If you realize, very interestingly, the word, the way he uses this, right? In other words, it means it is not for me. It is not just to edify me. It is for common good, for the good of the body. So if you have a gift that your God has given to you, my friends, it's not just for you. It is for the common good. Right? It is to be given. In other words, it has to be shown. It has to be, right? Can you imagine if, you know, I think many of you enjoy Enoch playing drums and also Ricky, right? Can you imagine if Enoch, sorry Enoch, I'm using your name. Yeah, I'll buy coffee for you after this. Can you imagine if just Enoch is just playing and Ricky is also playing drums at home in their basement and he's not using it here? Can you imagine having worship service without drums? Sometimes, you know, I like drums, by the way. So what's happening? He's just helping himself, that's all. He's not helping the body. Only when he comes and he plays, right? What happens? It energizes us, it enriches us, right? We feel, you know, I can worship God. Yes, you can worship God without instrument, I'm not saying no. But what happens? I think God has gifted me, and what's happening? I want to give it. And so it is for the common good. It's not just for me alone, but it's to build the body of Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, as a way of warning, your spiritual gift, it's not used rightly, can destroy the church. If it's used for your selfish, I want to use my gift because I want to show people who I am. If that kind of arrogance and pride comes and we begin to use our gifts with that kind of attitude, my friend, it destroys the church. And that was happening in the Corinthian church. Let me tell you, one of the most difficult letters Paul ever wrote, if you look at the terminologies that Paul uses, you know, he writes 1 Corinthians. It's a very difficult letter. You know, sometimes when you read, you might wonder, is this Paul who's writing? He's very upset. You can see that Paul is really upset what's happening. Because it was destroying the church. It was wrongly used, my friend. People were using it because they thought, you know, they are much more greater. They thought it was given for themselves, but they forgot it was just for the common good of people. You know something? Let me finish with this. God has actually graciously gifted you. You and I don't deserve. It's all because of what Jesus did at the cross for us. Dear friends, He loves us so much. Right? I'm not worthy to receive God's gift. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, He's loved me so much, right? He died on the cross. And He was willing to share Himself to me that I can reflect God's nature. What a wonderful God that we serve. He was not restrictive. He could have said, you know, I died on the cross and that's it. No. He wants to dwell in my life, right? He wants others to see Him in me. He gave himself, and he truly gave himself. Not only on the cross, in the life. Let me encourage you. If you're not given yourself to Christ, you know, tell him, Lord, I want to be your gift. Because you've given yourself for me. Let's pray. Dear friends, you know, what a great God that we serve, because this God says that I love you so much, and he means what he says. I've shown my love not only by dying on the cross, but I've given myself to you. I want to bless you with a gift. Dear friends, as a pastor, let me say, you know, each and every one of you are important in the church. You might think that, you know, I'm the least. There's no least person in this church. Everyone are special in the sight of God and are unique in their giftings. And God wants you not to keep that energy within yourself, but to reflect the Spirit of God that's living in you. Maybe you're good in encouraging people. Encourage. Maybe you're good in praying for people. Don't feel shy. Talk to them and say, no, I want to pray for you. Maybe you're good in terms of teaching. And you know that God has gifted you. Be part of a group where you can teach. Pastor Vincent, I'm good in service. I like to do certain things, you know, maybe at the back, behind the curtain kind of a thing. And that is also unique. Because everything done in God's way builds up the body of Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you came into this world, Father, because of love. Not only you gave yourself to us, O God, and Jesus is God's gift to us. And Lord, as Paul writes to the church, Father, we are just clay of jar. We pray, God, that we will reveal the Spirit that's living in us, that energizes us. Help us, Lord, to use the gifts that you have given to us. Not for ourselves, but for the body of Christ, for common good. In Jesus' name we pray.